This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahumma salli ala Rasulullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulullah. All praises due to Allah, and may His peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Marra ukhra, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ikhwan, tathkir sari'. Amr al-Iman ma kan muqayyada. A quick reminder, inshallah, if you are planning on leaving, please keep it down as you're leaving. And if you are joining us, we'd love to have you, inshallah. So quick reminder again, Amr al-Iman ma kan muqayyada. In Islam, the way that we are taught about Iman, that is not a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where in exchange for your iman, Allah is going to reciprocate it by easy life. Nowhere does it ever say this in the Quran. And they say that this is such a dangerous way of viewing our relationship with Allah. Oh Allah, because I have been a good believer, because I have been a practicing Muslim, because I have done my prayers, because I have done this, I expect in return, that I am going to have an easy life. Or in exchange of me believing in you and serving you, somehow I am supposed to get a preferential preference, or I am supposed to be getting a better treatment. In other beliefs, this may be the case. But not in Islam. In fact, to the contrary, the Quran is not afraid to let people know that they will be tested. They will be tested. Not only that, but Iman is not supposed, the primary purpose of Iman is not to make this life easy. That's not the primary purpose of Iman. The primary purpose of Iman is to grant you salvation in the hereafter. An-najah fil akhir. That is the primary purpose of Iman. However, it may have some secondary benefits in this life by giving us enough tools that when life throws challenges at us, Iman gives us these tools by which we can sail through them. والله من أجمل ما قيل كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم طبعا قبله كلام الله سبحانه وتعالى ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الثمرات You shall be tested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 156, by means of a loss in lives, in fruits, in livestock, by means of hunger, by means of fear, you will be tested. But then the Quran says, after that, believers are going to react. What are they going to do? Believers are going to react and say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." You know, we came from Him, Subhanahu wa Taala, and we shall ultimately return to Allah, Subhanahu wa Taala. And then the Quran says something really interesting: "Ulaika alayhim salawatun min Rabbihim wa rahma, wa ulaika humul muhtadun." On such people who reacted this way to the adversities of life, shall be upon them grace from Allah, mercy and blessings from Allah, and they are the ones who have been rightly guided. Muhtadun li ish. هو قال أولئك هم المهتدون. بس ما قال وين وجه الهداية. Allah said that these people are guided, but the Quran does not tell us what it is that they were guided to. Now, يجي كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know, and what we are witnessing nowadays in Syria and in Turkey, والله مقدار الرضا والقبول والله حير العقول. You know, the amount of faith that people are displaying, والله is mind-boggling. You will not believe. And that is why one really wonders, How does a non-Muslim make it through? How does one who does not have faith make it through this? Because what you see is people who have truly submitted to the way, to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways that are so unbelievably beautiful, literally mind-boggling. How do you explain? Person just lost 24 members of their family. 24 members of their family. You know, those of us who have lived in the East, it's very common that in one building, mom and dad live here, and then their son and, you know, and his family lives upstairs, and then the daughter and her family lives, and then the uncles and then the aunties. So it's very common that one family would occupy one building. Somebody steps away. They go overseas, they are somewhere, they come back to find out that all 24 members of their family are dead. How do you explain this? How do you handle this? And then when you see them, what are they saying? Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. They're praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left and right, and they have literally submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Interviewing this guy, I'd lost 11 members of his family. And people came to him and they said, كيف أهلك? How's your family? And what does he say? كلهم بخير إلا أنا. He said, they're all doing well except me. Because those who have perished, they're in the hands of a merciful God. He said, they're all doing well. The problem is with me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إيش يقول? ذاق حلاوة الإيمان. من رضي بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا. Somebody will truly taste the sweetness of Iman for those who have accepted Allah as their Lord. رضي بالله ربا. طب كيف الواحد يرضى بالله ربا؟ قال رضي بحكم الله الكوني وبحكم الله الشرعي. How does one accept Allah سبحانه وتعالى as their Lord? By accepting the decree of Allah in the universe, and by accepting the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a person is a person who is pleased and they have accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we are seeing here is an unbelievable amount of acceptance of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they're interviewing this young Syrian kid and they're saying, what is going on? And I'm listening to this guy. You know, supposedly you've been an imam for so long. Supposedly you had your degrees in Islamic studies. You read so many books. You may know more. But looking at this 11-year-old kid, and just listening to what the kid had to teach and preach, but he was doing it so effortlessly. So effortlessly. What is going on? Said, اليوم أنا أختي الله نجانا والله كتب إنه ماما وبابا يموتوا. وأختي قلت لها تعالي بس ما سمعت الكلام لأنه الله بده إياها اليوم يوم الموت. You're listening to this kid and what does he say? He said, Allah has decreed that I and my sister were spared. And Allah has decreed that my mom and my dad pass away. I invited my sister to come with me but she did not listen. She didn't die because she did not listen to me. She died because it was her time to go. This is an 11-year-old kid. And he was saying it so effortlessly. He was just speaking Islam. You know, this idea of submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. من لطائف كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال مثل المؤمن كالزرع. He said that the parable of a believer is like that of a tender plant. تكفأها الريح. You know, when the wind blows, what does this tender, you know, plant do? What does it do? It just goes along. It just goes along. And then what happens is that, فَإِذَا سَكَنَتِ الرِّيحِ. But then when the wind calms down, what happens to that tender plant? It comes up again. And then he said, وَمَثَلُ الْكَافِرِ. The parable of a believer, كَالْأَرْزَ, is like a pine tree. Appears to be strong. Appears to be very, very straight. And then he said that it attempts to withstand, and then all of a sudden what happens? It gets to be uprooted. And by the way, if you go and you Google, you will find that pine trees are the ones that are most prone to fall, especially when faced with strong sustained wind. Pine trees are heavy up in the top, so the likelihood of them falling is very, very common. So what does that mean? He said sometimes, you know, you are going to be faced with problems. So what happens? Like a believer, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, there are certain, you know, challenges in life. The only way to deal with it is qabool, acceptance. Because trying to fight is irresponsible, foolish, and fruitless. So what do? You accept. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come and he would console people, what is it? لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذَ وَلَهُ مَا أَعْطَى وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِبْ. He would console people and say, no, to Allah is what he has given, to Allah is what he has taken. Everything with him is with due measure. Be patient. تحتسب. I know in the expecting your reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said that the smartest thing would be that you are in the state of ihtisab, anticipating your reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever something like this happens, there are usually three victims. There are the immediate victims. You know, when we look into the mental health of the individuals, we're looking into the immediate, we call the primary victims. These are the people who have actually witnessed the earthquake themselves. Be it they survived, be it their injury, or the fact that you have just experienced an earthquake. Anybody, by show of hands, anybody here experienced an earthquake before? I lived in California. Wallahi, one of the scariest experiences ever. The earthquake that I experienced was about 22 seconds long. Now you say, oh, alhamdulillah, 22 seconds. 22 seconds is a long time. It's an extremely long time. In Turkey, I think this one was 40 seconds. That's a long time, man. That is an extremely, extremely long time. And I remember it was when we first came to the States and we are in California and, man, the earth shook in ways, subhanallah. We literally froze. You read Surah Al-Zalzala before. You know, you somehow, you know what an earthquake. But experiencing an earthquake, that is very, very scary. Extremely scary. So now you have these people who have gone through it. So we refer to them as the primary victims. Some people have been buried for such a long time, and 3 days now, over 100 hours. So what happens is that, not only that, but we're told that people are out on the streets, sleeping on the streets, because they don't feel that it is safe enough for them to go back home. Not only that, but if you know, experienced an earthquake, after an earthquake, there are aftershocks. Which means that there's going to be a continuation of shaking taking place. And very common PTSD, you know, if you've ever experienced any panic attack, if you've experienced something bad, now you become afraid that the bad thing that just took place might happen again. So now you become afraid. Man, is it safe enough to go home? Is it safe enough to get inside? And if I get inside, what happens if the earthquake comes again? See, and earthquakes are not predictable. You know, they don't say like there is an eclipse at this specific time and you better be here. You can't do that. Nobody can say, oh, that's it, you know, it'll be fine. Everybody just go back home. Nobody in their right mind is going to tell you this. So now people have experienced it and now people are afraid that it might happen again. And now they're outside where it's very cold, it rains, and there is a snow. Man, what do you do to that? And that's why, subhanAllah, the more you look into these people, like I said, the way that they're handling things, the way that their deen is helping them to handle this is unbelievable, man. You see some of the best examples of what is going on. Just people handling this. I was looking into, and by the way, that is, you know, that's how we heal. You know, people who are from a distance, you know, by just learning from these people. In Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah today, a group of Turkish people are coming from Umrah. You know, they finished their Umrah. They are on their way back to go back to Turkey, to Istanbul. The janitors at the airport. You're going to Turkey. The janitors, they call each other. They all collect money. They give it to these people back and say, can you please take the money back and see if you can help people with it? Man, a janitor working at, how much money are they making? But for them, man, I want to do something to help these people. This is what's going on. You've got the shopkeepers opening their shops and nothing is for sale today. Take everything. Take it to the people who, take it to the people who need it. That's like, you know, you hear about this and you say, man, the deen is beautiful, man. And that's why, wallahi, say it's mind-boggling. People who don't believe, I don't know how they make it through this kind of disasters. And that's why they say, قَالْ وَالْإِيمَانِ يَحْمِلْ إِنسَانْ مِنَ الْأَسْئِلَ الْعَبَثِيَّ وَالْعَبِيطَ. And you know, that part of faith is that it protects people from asking silly questions. Why me? What have I done? These are silly questions because they're useless. There is no answer to them. And by the way, we don't claim that we have answers to these things. We may be able to explain why an earthquake took place, but we can't really say why these people, why this family, why this building. We this idea of abath, you know, this notion of foolishness. So these are now the primary victims. And on our part, what do we do to these primary victims? Obviously, safety is going to be of the essence to them. So now what is it that they're looking for? Sometimes, man, it's just too cold. We want tents. We want RVs, not necessarily the car, but we want somewhere where people can feel safe, regain sense of privacy and also their own space and having healthy. So safety is going to be very, very important. That's like the primary thing. Also remember that with these people, the psychological impact may not necessarily be immediate because now people are initially in a survival mode. It's like, I want to make sure that, you know what, safety is very important. So we're only reacting to the safety. And what happens is that throughout we need continuous assessment of how people are dealing with this. Secondary victims are rescue workers and the people who did not necessarily, you know, die or they were not necessarily immediately impacted by this, but rescue workers. Rescue workers are also psychologically impacted by this. By the way, just to give you an idea, you know, in Turkey, alhamdulillah, because it's, you know, it's a country, was developed country, you know, they had access to. But look into the people that were in Syria, you know, trying to dig using their bare hands. What are you going to do? Man, it is so cold. Your fingers are going to freeze within, you know, minutes. And how much digging can you make? And listen to this. Here is a rescue worker who can hear somebody calling for help. Help, help. And then he said that, and I can hear the sound dimming and fainting away until there is no more sound. What happens? That the people just passed away. The person has just died. Or you think that person is not psychologically impacted by what they just witnessed? You also have to love the deen. When they save somebody, person walks out, and what do you hear? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Allah. And that's incredible, man. That is incredible. This elderly Turkish lady, they finally reached her. Come out, sister. No, can't come out. What's going on? I don't have my scarf. I want somebody to give me a scarf. Girl, just get out, man. Would anybody have blamed that woman if she came out? Would anybody even notice that she did not have the hijab on? Religiously, would anybody condemn that woman for coming out? What does she want? I want my hijab. Alhamdulillah, Allah saved me, but I want my hijab on. That's beautiful, man. And watching this five-year-old girl, they finally reached her, and as soon as she sees the rescue workers, what does she say? Salaam alaikum. Salaam alaikum. Are you serious? That's the first thing that came out of your mouth. Assalamu alaikum. You know, so these things, you know, when you expose yourself to this, when you've got these rescue workers just pulling dead bodies, dead people, so rescue workers are also going to be impacted by this. And we call them the, you know, secondary victims. And then there are us, people who've been extorted, you know, geographically and psychological proximity. You know, we're not there geographically, but there is psychological proximity. Maybe I have family members in that part of the world. And I know that Abu Sami, his family, you know, his wife, you know, lost her nephew along with the wife, along with the one-year-old baby, and the wife was pregnant. So our condolences to the family. That is because nobody expects, you know, that's the way that we're going to perish. You know, subhanAllah, these people went to sleep and nobody had an idea that tonight was going to be their last night. You think that does not impact the people who come to know this? About the people who still have family back in Turkey and Syria. Reported over 500 aftershocks. It's like, man, what's going on today? We're still outside. What were they saying? Man, there is... And now, you know, now that's been so long, well, they're stopping the rescue missions. They call it recovery. What does that do to the spirit of the people? What happens to the father, the mother, the child that was anticipating that, you know what, family members were going to come out? What happens to the person who lives in Memphis and they've been frantically trying to get a hold of their families, but they haven't heard back from them? So, when it comes to these things, you know, believers come together. Okay? And what do? Lend support to each other. You know, sometimes, subhanAllah, just the fact that, wallahi, I would do say, let me check out my Syrian friends, Syrian brothers and sisters in the community, Turkish brothers and sisters in the community. Would love to check on them and just to see, you know what, how are they doing? How is their family doing? Please do not belittle these actions. Wallahi, do not belittle these actions. You know, somebody checking on me, somebody lending words of support, somebody just giving me a hug, that goes a long way, man. Wallahi, it goes a long way. A story that I never get tired of telling. After Hurricane Katrina, a big African-American brother walks into the volunteer center and says, I want to volunteer. And people ask, do you have a boat? No. Do you have a truck? No. Do you have a floaty? No. Did you bring dry clothes? No. Do you have clean water? No. I said, what do you want to do, man? He said, man, I've got no boat, no floaty, no truck, no dry clothes, no clean water. I am just going to stop. I'm going to be standing at that corner. And I want you to make an announcement. Whoever wants a hug, I will give them a hug. That is sunnah. That is sunnah because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that those who are going to be closest to me in the day of judgment in Jannah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all within the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, أَحَاسِنُكُمْ أَخْلَاقًا أَلْمُوَطِّئُونَ أَكْنَافًا أَلَّذِينَ يَأْلَفُونَ وَيُؤْلَفُونَ. The best amongst you are going to be, the closest to me are going to be those who have the best of character. Those who make their shoulders a place to comfort other people. They are those who are loving and they are lovable. Do not belittle these things. Do not belittle a hug. Do not belittle a text. Do not belittle a phone call. Because with every hug, with every phone call, with every space that you create for people to just be, to just cry. And that is nice, man. That is nice. Brother lost his father. He came to me. He said, Sheikh, my father died. So I go into my so-called Sheikh mode, Sunnah mode. Lillahi ma akhada wa, and start making dua. He goes, Sheikh. He looked at me and said, Sheikh, I just want a hug, man. Get up, give him a hug, and the brother starts bawling. I'm just holding him and he's just crying. He's doing nothing, he's crying. 5 minutes later, he sits there and he looks at me and he goes, man, you're the best Sheikh. You know why I became the best Sheikh? Shut up, give me a hug. And because sometimes that's really what we want. We just want a shoulder to cry on. Okay? I may not be able to explain to you why your family died, and I will not attempt to do any of that. But you know what? Right now, maybe just giving a shoulder is going to be the best thing that I can offer to you. So do not belittle these things. Checking on each other. Providing space for people. You know, the idea of, you know, just coming over for a cup of tea. You know, somebody that just recently lost a loved one. When appropriate. You know, just let them talk about their loss. Let them talk about how much they love the person that just passed away. Let them talk about the pain that they're going through. Let them talk about the challenges that they think they're facing. Making a safe space, non-judgmental safe space for people to be. Remember, the key word here is safe, non-judgmental. Get a hold of yourself. Stop crying. Where is your sabr? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once walking by and he sees this woman who lost her child. She's sitting on the grave and she is wailing and screaming, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passing by said, "Sbiri, be patient, may Allah grant you patience." The woman wasn't paying attention. He said, "Get lost. فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمُصِيبَةِ." He said, "Get lost. You don't know what it means to be in my position. You don't know what it means to be in my position." And the Prophet ﷺ doesn't say anything. He leaves. And then later on, people, they go, "By the way, the person that you just spoke to, this is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So she comes to the Prophet ﷺ, "Prophet, I'm sorry. I did not know that it was you." The Prophet ﷺ does not go and rebuke her for how dare you, that was not the proper way to respond. He does not go near that. So we're looking for a safe, non-judgmental space for people to just be. And sometimes, giving our time, our ears, making our shoulders a place to comfort people, one of the best gifts that we can give to people. One of the best gifts that we can give, that we can give to people. Second thing, and I hope I don't offend you, my brothers and sisters, as Fazil, okay, is this idea of, you know, to claim that because we're Muslims, we have an answer to every question is very dangerous. Sometimes we actually don't have answers. Even as believers, we really don't have answers. And trying to make sense of everything, that's not what the deen is about. The deen is about submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what we do. And these are the type of stories that are just, like I said, mind-boggling when you see these people, you know, doing these things. An elderly man, they finally reached him. He's down on his belly. There's a big rock, you know, hanging over him. And, "Uncle, you know, just give us some time. We'll come and get you." What does he want? "Can you roll a bottle of water for me?" "What do you want? Are you thirsty?" No. "I need to make wudu so I can make my prayers." "Uncle, just be quiet." Who's going to blame the uncle if they don't pray? Physically, you're not even in the state. But what does he want to do? He wants to pray. He wants to pray. People are coming out. As they're coming out, what are they doing? They're reading Quran. Little kids are coming out. What are they doing? Saying, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Mama, ليش بتقول Ya Allah, Ya Allah? سمعت بابا بيقول Ya Allah, Ya Allah. صرت أقول مثله. A little girl, they got her out and said, what are you doing? She said, I just kept saying, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Why did you say that? My father was saying, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. And I just decided to repeat what my father was saying. So you see this, and in the sitting of people together, exchanging these stories, talking about these stories, there is a sense of healing that takes place. Okay? There is solace that is exchanged in the process. Of course, we're also looking for something that is practical. So what do? You know, like we did the other day, let's fundraise. Let's make sure that we take care of our brothers and sisters. Let's make sure that, you know what, right now is not the time for them to worry about food or drinks or anything like this. Let's take care of this. Let's make sure that, you know what, they're well clothed so that, you know what, they're not exposed to the cold. You know, seeing people who came in by trucks, this is like in the outskirts in Syria. You know, these are already poor people. Brother pulls in with a truck. He goes, we have 4 bedrooms in my house. 4 families can come with me. My family and I will take a room. 3 families can also take, you know, each one of them can take a room. That's beautiful, man. That is beautiful. You know, for people to say that, you know, I'm in good hands. No, man. I want to make sure that I, you know, this idea of مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم, the parable of believers in the mutual love that they have for one, the mutual kindness that they have, the mutual compassion that they have for one another, is like one body. When one part of it aches, the rest of the body responds. And this is the beauty of what we see. Supporting the people who supporting the rescue workers, supporting this and of course the people who were the primary victims of this. And then the final point is the power of dua. You know, sometimes we are a bit selfish with dua. See, you make dua to feel good. That is selfish. Don't make dua to feel good, man. You make dua because you truly believe it will make a difference. You know, imagine this. You make a dua because you truly believe it will make a difference to the people that you make dua to. Now, by extension, you may feel good about making the dua, but the primary motive should not be so that I feel good. I had a brother who said, man, I feel so bad for the people of Turkey and Syria. So what he said, I decided to fast, and before I break my fast, I make my dua to the people there. Why do you do that? He said, I want to make sure that my dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I do all these things in order for my dua to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I said, this is not a one-time thing, but rather this is a process. You know, talk about it today, talk about it tomorrow, talk about it in small gathering, in big gathering, you know, motivate. I think today somebody suggested an orphanage. Somebody is talking about, you know what, wallahi, if there is a child out there inquiring about how do I adopt these children. And many times, you know, supporting the people who are already there, doing the support, is actually a much better way. I could not really confirm this today, but you know, somebody suggested that please do not send any clothing. We have enough clothing. It's a bigger discussion, but sometimes, you know, they say that, you know, the type of aid that we send from here sometimes ruins the local economy. Okay? Well, right now, you also, you know, part of what you pay attention to is the local economy. Well, if these people already are making blankets and they have blankets there, they already have clothes over there. So rather than doing this, say that help by buying what is already local there, and that helps people. Rather than sending food from here, if they have already farmers who have the ability to help, then buy their food, because by extension, you're helping the economy recover. You don't want to create dependency. You want to offer independence. But whatever way you see fit, please inshallah make sure that we help in this process, and please keep them in your prayers. So for all of those who have perished, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the ranks of the martyrs, ya Rabbil Alameen. You know, and that is such a beautiful way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam consoles people who have died such a death. You know, people die in such a way, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna ash-shuhada'u khamsa." There's five types of martyrs, and one of them is al-hadm. Imagine you just being stuck there in one position, unable to breathe. It's not, man, that is not a nice way to die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, ya Rabbil Alameen. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in exchange, people who have patiently persevered, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them the status of a martyr. So for all those who have perished, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the status of the martyrs. For those who are alive and stuck, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make way out for them. For those who have injured, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a full and speedy recovery. For all the rescue workers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them, ya Rabbil Alameen. Bless their families, bless their health, and bless their wealth, ya Rabbil Alameen. And for all those who are naked and outside, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a safe place and a safe space, ya Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in doing our best to help them, ya Rabbil Alameen. هذا والله أعلم صلى الله عليه وسلم.